It's All Things Considered on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Neil Charnoff. Singer-songwriter Nico Case would seem to be on a roll. She's a card-carrying member of the indie supergroup The New Pornographers, who are about to release a new album. And she's touring in support of her latest solo release, The Worse Things Get, The Harder I Fight, The Harder I Fight, The More I Love You.
I'm a man. That's what you raise me to be. I'm not an identity crisis. This was planned.
But Nico Case has had a tough couple of years. She went into a depression caused in part by the deaths of her grandmother, her parents, and some close friends. She retreated to her farmhouse in the Northeast Kingdom and tried to focus on songwriting. Case is now moving forward, and this Wednesday will be performing at Burlington's Flynn Center in a concert to benefit the Flynn and Catamount Arts in St. Johnsbury. I recently sat down with Nico Case in VPR's Montpelier Studios. Nico Case, thank you so much for joining us today.
You are welcome.
First, the very exciting news that your band, The New Pornographers, has a new album coming out in August.
Yes.
This is the first in 4 years, I think.
Yeah, we've been busy having babies and making movies and records and touring with Destroyer and we being the entire band in different chunks.
Yeah, yeah.
And making other records too, yeah.
None of those babies being yours.
None of the babies are mine unless you count, you know, some chickens.
Okay. So what can you tell us about the album?
It's kind of a throwback to our earlier records where it's a lot messier. And there's still, you know, the things that we really enjoy, which is, you know, super layered harmony singing. But there's also lots of large rock and excellent cacophony, I think.
You know, many artists are very proprietary when it comes to how they use their talents. But you're very generous. You're a great collaborator. You have the band New Pornographers. You've worked with the Sadies and Jacob Dylan. And how does this happen that you just pop up everywhere?
Well, I'm kind of like a stray dog. I don't really know where my next meal's coming from. So I have this fear that if I stop working, I'll probably die.
Mm.
You know, like a shark. I got to keep moving.
Mm.
That has given me way too many things to do. And I'm actually a bit of a workaholic, which I need to work on. I need to calm that down a little. But I don't regret any of my projects that I've worked on. So I really just want to become the best musician I can, which sounds super lame and like a super blanket statement. But I definitely am working toward improvement because that's what I've committed my life to, you know.
Well, meanwhile, you are touring in support of your latest CD, which is called The Worse Things Get, The Harder I Fight, The Harder I Fight, The More I Love You.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is just a wonderful album. It's got many, many moments of a very sublime beauty on it.
Thank you.
There are so many tools that are made from my hands, but the tide smashes all my best laid plans to sand. And there's always someone to say it's easy for me, but I revenge myself all over myself. There's nothing you can say to me. You never held it at the right angle. You never held it at the right.
What can you tell us about your state of mind when you created this album? I know you had some tough years there with the loss of people close to you and...
I was just really boringly depressed. It was very situational, but it was really large to me. I had lost my parents and my grandmother in a short period of time and some friends as well. So I hadn't slowed down to kind of mourn the deaths of those people who were close to me. I'd been on tour and I just kept touring. And I think that's how I would deal with things is I would just work extra hard. And there was a point while making this record where working extra hard stopped working.
Mm.
And that's when I kind of realized I was in trouble. But, I mean, I kept working throughout all that time. It took about 4 years, I think. But it worked out.
I mean, is that a cliche to say, you know, we think of artists as being able to sort of handle their emotions, working them out through your art and creativity? Does that work for you? Or?
Well, no, not really. I mean, this record did not help me get through depression, except for the fact that I would go to work, meaning that I just had a task for myself to do. And I don't think the songs necessarily made me feel better about anything. Like, it didn't feel cathartic at all. Mm-hmm. I think that's it's not really a cliche. It's kind of just kind of a mythology that isn't really so true. It's kind of like how artists need to be tortured to make good art, which is also totally false.
We're in this strange period with CDs practically phased out. LPs are returning at a premium price. It was actually when I went looking for your latest, it was easier to find the LP than the actual CD. There are any number of ways to listen to and download music. So as someone trying to reach an audience with your music, what do you think about all this?
I mean, I definitely like that it's more accessible to people. As somebody who grew up with LPs, I definitely still am not over LPs as far as the transition to CD, so I'm way behind the curve. But LPs making a comeback, I think, is a great thing because I love the artwork and I love the information, and it was a big part of the ritual of getting to know a record. And I feel like people really miss out on a lot of, you know, the learning who played what on what. So musicians are kind of taking a little bit of a backseat and becoming a little bit anonymous because of that, which is a bit of a bummer. But I mean, it's still there. You can still read it. But I don't know that people do, which is a bummer.
It's not the same, you know, to be able to go to, you know, open up the booklet and say, oh, so-and-so produced this, and oh, look who's singing backup vocals. And
yeah, that's why I would, I mean, on one hand, the part of me that says it's really nice to not make so many things, you know, physical things in the world made out of plastics and whatnot, like I'm a big fan of that. But on the other hand, I'm a big fan of art. So the physical looking at it and reading it, like you said, as far as things being a premium price now, I don't know if I agree with that, only because when I was 17, records cost maybe $5 less than they do now. And that was a long time ago. You know, I was 17 in 1987. So the price, in a way, really hasn't gone up that much, and you still get all this great stuff. So the fact that it's coming back is really great. And the artwork is bigger and there's more exciting things to put in there. And I think people get really excited about it.
How do you listen to music?
I listen to it on a record player mostly, LPs. Mm. But I will listen to stuff through my computer too.
You recently had a Twitter dust-up with Playboy magazine. Now, they tweeted the following. Artist Nico Case is breaking the mold of what women in the music industry should be. Now, we're public radio, so I have to tone down your response, but you essentially tweeted back that you're not a woman in music, you are a musician in music, with some follow-up tweets also a little too profane for our listeners. What happened here?
Well, I'm kind of in the middle of just writing a big essay about it because somebody asked me about my attack on Playboy magazine. I was like, well, it was more of a reaction to something that was stupid. But the writer of the actual piece didn't write the tagline on Twitter, so it wasn't his fault. And he wrote me a really nice letter like, hey, wasn't meant to be like that. Sorry. He's like, I think it's ridiculous, too. And so, you know, I thought that was really nice. And, of course, my reaction was pretty over the top. But at the same time, you know, I'm not really that sorry for it either. In fact, I'm not sorry for it at all. But if I was going to try to launch a large discussion about feminism by attacking someone, that wouldn't really be a great thing because it wouldn't really get people invited. And I wouldn't choose Playboy magazine because they would be an obvious target. You know, they have naked ladies at Playboy.
Yeah. But so, they're not the only ones guilty of
No, they're not the only ones. Which is why I decided I'm not going to talk about it with people. I'm just going to write a big essay about it and explain how I feel about it, like, because I honestly don't want to talk about it in interviews anymore, only because I'm not a political spokesperson or a personal spokesperson so much. I'm a musician and a producer. I'm absolutely in every way licensed and capable to, you know, comment on it, but it's not really why I'm here. But at the same time, it's such a catch-22 because, you know, popular culture has a very, very large impact on how we see ourselves and each other. So it would be foolish to ignore it. But at the same time, I'm going to just put it in one format, in one space. And if people want to ask me about it in the future, I'll say, you can reference that and not take pull quotes. You can only read it as one thing.
You've been living on a farm in Vermont for about 5 years now, I think, mm-hmm. if I counted that correctly. How is this fulfilling your expectations of the life that you want to lead here?
I've had no regrets, and it does kind of takes me back to the only nice time in my childhood, really, which was living in Vermont in Lamoille County. And I just remember it was the only place I ever felt like I fit in, and it's like a family group. There are different ages of people. There are different people you go to for different reasons, and I don't know. I feel taken care of here, and I feel very much a part. And, you know, I touch dirt every day, and I take care of other creatures. And, you know, I'm not the most important thing in my life, which, you know, we all are to an extent. But I don't know. There's something very unreal and kind of distorted about life on tour, which is also a great way of living. But doing it full time would make a person insane. So it's a very nice balancing. You know, you slow it way down and you make yourself very unimportant. There's lots of hilarious life and death experiences on every level, every single day in the farmhouse, you know. So there's a lot of gore. There's a lot of poop. It's very humbling.
Yeah. You have a concert coming up. It's a benefit concert at the Flynn. And I want to talk a little bit about that and your relationship with Catamount Arts in St. Johnsbury. Now, is this concert a benefit for Catamount and the Flynn? How does this work?
Yeah, it's a kind of a split benefit for Catamount and the Flynn, two parts of Vermont that work closely together, just because we are a small state and we do help each other out. And I don't know, it was just such a nice partnership idea. And in the Northeast Kingdom, we'd like to get more traffic of arts.
What's been your relationship with Catamount Arts? How have you been working with these guys?
We basically borrow each other's clothes mm-hmm. and makeup nice. And hang out yeah. all the time. It's been really good. I, of course, own the building next door to Catamount Arts where they used to be, where my rehearsal space is, and a restaurant and whatnot. And they were the first people to really welcome me to the area and really went out of their way to make me feel at home and give me pointers as to where to find good folks to help you with plumbing. It's like just a very, very high-functioning, kind of hilarious neighbor relationship, rather like a sitcom. We're giddy teenage girls together. We are.
July 2nd is the concert at the Flynn. We really look forward to that. Again, congratulations on your CD, the new Pornographer CD. And Nico Case, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.